Good evening. In the news tonight, an explosion rocks Tunisia's young democracy, and Turkey shoots down a Russian jet plane. French President François Hollande and President Barack Obama meet at the White House. And there's a new report from the New York City Coalition Against Hunger, which finds that working people are increasingly food insecure. With these and other stories, I'm Linda Perry in New York, and this is some of the news for Tuesday, November 24th, 2015. Turkey shot down a Russian warplane Tuesday, accusing it of violating Turkish airspace. Moscow says the plane was inside Syria when it was shot down. This is a stab in the back, said Russian President Vladimir Putin. The pilot did not threaten anyone. He said the Russian fighter jet was within Syria airspace just over a half mile from the Turkish border, and he warned of consequences for Russian-Turkish relations. At a joint news conference with French President François Hollande and President Barack Obama in Washington today, the two said they want to work with Russia to defeat Daesh, the so-called Islamic State group. Obama said he is hopeful that the situation between Russia and Turkey won't escalate, that this is a moment where parties will step back and determine how their interests are best served.
The Russians had several hundred people of their own killed by ISIL. And the flow of foreign fighters out of Russian areas into Syria poses an enormous long-term threat to Russian territory. So there is a potential convergence of interests between the various parties. It requires us working with them to make the kind of strategic shift that's necessary.
Obama said the challenge has been Russia's focus on propping up Syrian President Bashar al-Assad rather than defeating ISIL.
Bashar al-Assad peut pas être l'avenir de la Syrie.
The French president said Assad cannot be the future of Syria.
Bashar al-Assad ne pourra pas trouver sa place dès lors que il a été le problème, il ne peut pas être la solution.
Hollande's trip to Washington was part of a diplomatic push to get the U.S. and other nations to bolster efforts to destroy the militant group, which has claimed responsibility for the Paris attacks. Hollande emerged from his meeting with Obama saying that France and the U.S. have agreed to step up a joint response, including new efforts to target terrorists, financial networks, take back IS-controlled territory, scale up efforts in Syria and Iraq, and increase intelligence sharing. Hollande said he met with the UK and will meet with Germany, Italy, and other nations, including Russia, to coordinate the effort. Meanwhile, a blast struck a bus carrying members of Tunisia's presidential guard in the country's capital today. It killed at least 12 people and wounded more than a dozen others. The Interior Ministry is calling it a terrorist act. Radical gunmen staged two attacks earlier this year that killed 60 people, devastating the tourism industry. Tunisia, the former French territory, is the only Arab Spring country to have solidified a new democracy, but it's facing serious economic and security challenges. In other news, there's a new report on food insecurity. The vast majority of people who are hungry are working or trying to work. This comes out of a new report by the New York City Coalition Against Hunger. It's called Working But Hungry, Low Wages and Federal Cutbacks Keep New York City Hunger Sky High. The report shows that 1 million New York residents live in households with at least one person working, yet food insecure, that is, unable to consistently afford enough food. And while food pantries and soup kitchens have had to step up and provide food for low-wage earners and their families, they are unable to fill the need, according to Joel Berg. He's executive director of the New York City Coalition Against Hunger.
Even though Wall Street's doing better than ever, soup kitchens and food pantries in New York City are still struggling. Some people have gotten marginal raises, so they're no longer eligible for SNAP, the new name for food stamps benefits, but that doesn't mean they're no longer hungry. So at the same time, there's been a reduction in the rolls of SNAP benefits in New York City. More and more people are still going to pantries because they just don't earn enough to feed their families. That's why we continue to push so hard for raises in the minimum wage for all New Yorkers, so we can ensure that if you're working full-time, you can afford to feed your family.
And when you go to these soup kitchens, when you go to these pantries, they're half empty.
Most soup kitchens and food pantries in New York City just don't have enough food to meet the growing demand. And they're not supposed to. We're supposed to have jobs, we're supposed to have wages, we're supposed to have a safety net. Giving the impression we can end hunger with a few more canned food drives is like telling people we can fill the Grand Canyon with a teaspoon.
80% of New York City food pantries and soup kitchens blame the increased needs on cuts in the SNAP food program. In 2015, soup kitchens and food pantries faced a 5% increase in demand, 7% in 2014, and 10% in 2013. More demand was there backwards in time to a 20% increase in demand in 2009. Coupled with city data and near record levels of homelessness across the city, indications are that overall the city's economic recovery is not benefiting the lowest income residents.
There are 50,000 people living in homeless shelters in New York City, more than half of whom are children. So this is a huge systematized structural problem that's been increasing for decades, and we need a huge response by creating jobs, raising wages, and ensuring that there's adequate, affordable housing for all New Yorkers.
Now, critics have been targeting de Blasio's housing policies, and they've been saying they're not working and that they're more homeless on the street now than ever.
I think the elites are just noticing homeless people more because they can blame a so-called left-wing mayor, and the police are doing less under de Blasio to move low-income people out of rich neighborhoods. So it's really a problem of perception. And truthfully, many of the wealthiest elites in New York want the ostrich approach. They just want to bury their head in the sand and think homelessness will go away because they don't happen to be in front of their ATM, in front of their doorman's apartment. The day de Blasio took office, more than 50,000 homeless people were living in shelters, half of whom were children. He is working to reverse this problem, but it's going to take time, and it's going to take federal policies, it's going to take national economic policies, and it's going to take state policies in tandem with the city policies to really fix this.
Berg said what's needed is to immediately raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, that the American dream is seriously at risk unless we change our current economic and political policies. You can find the New York City Coalition Against Hunger's full report at nyccah.org, and members of the public can get food help by calling 1-866-3-HUNGRY, H-U-N-G-R-Y. That's the USDA National Hunger Hotline, 1-866-3-HUNGRY. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. New York State is taking steps to accomplish Governor Cuomo's goal of generating half of the state's electricity from renewable sources by 2030. The Cuomo administration says it will task the state's Public Service Commission with enforcing the 50% target. About 26% of the state's power now comes from renewable sources, but some clean energy advocates say that's not enough. Andrea Sears reports.
With the UN Climate Change Conference beginning next week, the governor is putting the pressure on to clean up New York's power supply. He says the ultimate goal is an 80% reduction in carbon emissions by 2050. But Mark Dunley of the 100% Renewables Now New York campaign says the target for renewable energy is too low.
The carbon emissions from electricity is only about a third of the state's carbon footprint. So he's actually talking about a small percentage of the state's carbon footprint, and then he sets very minimal goals.
The state failed to meet its previous goal of getting 30% of electricity from renewable sources by the end of this year. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
In other news, New York State's highest court has blocked an effort to unseal the testimony that a grand jury heard before declining to indict Daniel Pantaleo, NYPD officer in the chokehold death of Eric Garner. The Court of Appeals on Monday denied a motion asking it to review a lower court ruling that prevented the public from seeing the testimony. That ruling echoed a previous lower court decision that cited longstanding principles of grand jury secrecy. The city's public advocate, Tish James, and legal groups wanted the testimony released. They say people need a clearer vision of how grand jurors reach their decision in a case that ignited widespread protests about police treatment of blacks. Police suspected Eric Garner of illegally selling loose cigarettes. He died after NYPD officer Pantaleo took him down to the ground in a chokehold with other officers watching and other personnel standing by. And finally, Muslim Americans who sued the New York Police Department over a surveillance program launched after 9/11 are on edge over the call for more surveillance from some Republican presidential candidates. They say rhetoric from the campaign is recklessly playing on people's fears. Donald Trump has said law enforcement should keep close surveillance on mosques. He also floated the idea of a database for tracking Muslims. Republican rival Ben Carson says any place where radicalization is going on should be monitored. Bahar Azmi is an attorney representing Muslim Americans in the NYPD suit. He and others say the rhetoric comes from ignorance and is scaring Muslims in the U.S. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.